We're going to look at the poem Conquerors by Henry Treat. You should probably pause this audio if you don't have a copy of the poem in front of you at the moment. You can find a copy of the poem and notes to go with it on this website as well, obviously. Okay, I'm going to read through the poem once and then I'm going to go back through it line by line, discussing it. Conquerors by Henry Treat. By sundown, we came to a hidden village where all the air was still, and no sound met our tired ears, save for the sorry drip of rain from blackened trees and the melancholy song of swinging gates. Then, through a broken pane, some of us saw a dead bird in a rusting cage, still pressing his thin, tattered breast against the bars, his beak wide open. And as we hurried through the weed-grown street, a gaunt dog started up from some dark place and shambled off on legs as thin as sticks into the wood, to die at least in peace. No one had told us victory was like this. Not one among us would have eaten bread before he'd filled the mouth of the grey child that sprawled stiff as stone before the shattered door. There was not one who did not think of home. Okay, Henry Treat was born in 1911 and he died in 1966. He did take part in World War II as an intelligence officer, I think. But he wrote this poem in 1932, before World War II, and it is obviously an anti-war poem. One of the first things you should always do when you look at a poem is examine the title. Straight away, ask yourself, what comes to mind when you look at it? And when you think of the word conquerors, and it might be a good idea just to pause this now and jot down some of the words, probably think of victory, of winning, of triumph, of success. And it's always interesting to contrast the ideas you would have had when you saw the title with the idea you have at the end of the poem, because an effective poem will often contrast the two. So, excuse me, going through it line by line, the poem says, by sundown we came to a hidden village. Now, it's always worth noticing the time of day and the time of year, if it's relevant, it's not in this case, in which the poem is set. So it's set at sundown, day is ending. So that straight away makes us feel perhaps that this is not going to be a very cheerful poem. By sundown, we came to a hidden village. Now, it's not a city, it's not an important place, it's just a small hidden village. So you would expect that it would be safe, but in fact, we're going to discover that being hidden was no advantage. Where all the air was still. Now, there's an ominous tone there. Ominous means that it's giving you an idea that something bad is going to happen. So it's an ominous tone here when all the air was still and no sound met our tired ears. Now, if you look at all the descriptions, the village is hidden, the air is still, the soldiers are tired. I mean, I know he says their ears are tired, but he means their whole body is tired, obviously. It kind of gives you the idea that this is a rather negative poem. Save for the sorry drip of rain from blackened trees. Again, the rain is a sorry drip and it's coming from blackened trees. Why are the trees blackened? You have to ask yourself. Notice the onomatopoeia as well, the drip of rain. Onomatopoeia is when a word sounds like its meaning. And what does that do in the context of the poem? Well, it really helps in terms of the sensual language. Sensual means that it appeals to our senses. So, you know, we hear what's going on in the poem and what's going on here is nothing at the moment. And, you know, the drip of the rain, we can imagine that as well. We can hear that and it really brings us into the scene. And he says, and the melancholy song of swinging gates. Melancholy means a depression or a sadness. And why would the gates have a melancholy song? Again, this first stanza is raising a lot of questions. Notice as well the sibilance, and that is a particular type of alliteration where you have repeated S sounds at the start of words, and you've got them in the words as well here. So the song of swinging gates. What does it do? It adds to the sense of silence, of quietness, because it's a very soft sound. So we're walking along with the soldier, as you notice, as we go through the poem, it's almost as if we're on the journey with him. So we're at the start of the village now. Everything is very quiet and all that can be heard is the gates that are swinging back and forward. Why are they swinging? We ask ourselves that. Why are they neither open nor closed? It gives you the impression that maybe this place has been abandoned. And the second verse begins with a slightly dramatic word, then. We're wondering what's going to happen. Then through a broken pane of glass, a window. And why is it broken? Some of us saw a dead bird in a rusting cage. Now, things are escalating a little. We've moved on from the sad sound of the swinging gates and the sad sound of the drip of rain from the trees. And now we have a dead bird. And that's quite upsetting. And it says he's still pressing his thin, tattered breast against the bars. And the word still is important there because obviously the implication is that he's been pressing against these bars for a long time, or he was before his death. And why was he pressing against the bars? Because he was trapped. He wanted to get out, his beak wide open. So again, you know, it's very obvious that this bird died of starvation. So where was the person who would have taken care of him? And as we hurried through the weed-grown street, the sense now that this place is deserted and that there's nobody there or nobody alive anyway, is increasing. The gates were swinging open, the bird is dead inside in his cage, and there's weeds growing in the streets. And a gaunt dog, gaunt there means extremely thin and very unwell looking, a gaunt dog started up from some dark place. Again, it's a dark place. He was in a shadow, he was hiding. And he shambled off. A shamble is a slow, unsteady walk. He shambled off on legs as thin as sticks into the wood to die at least in peace. So, like the bird, the dog is obviously starving. Again, it's an escalation. A dead bird was one thing. Now a dog would be more emotive. I suppose people would feel more of a connection with a dog generally than they would with a bird. And he's also alive, but he's on the point of death. We also notice the words, at least, to die at least in peace. Now, that's a very important phrase because you have to ask yourself, well, what happened to the other people? Did they not die in peace? Did everybody else in the village? I know I'm saying everybody as if the dog was a person, but every other creature not die in peace. The implication is that they didn't. You also want to notice the words, it's very important. That's called juxtaposition. Okay? Juxtaposition. JUXTAPOSITION. And juxtaposition simply means putting two things that are unalike close together to highlight the contrast between them or even to draw attention to them. And the words die and peace don't normally go together. And it makes us think. And it makes us think, well, while dying is bad, dying in peace is obviously preferable to the alternatives. So everything is growing more and more shocking as the poem progresses. And then the poet says, no one had told us victory was like this. Not one among us would have eaten bread before he'd filled the mouth of the grey child that sprawled stiff as stone before the shattered door. Now, I said earlier that things were escalating. We had the swinging gates, then we had a dead bird, then we had a dying dog, and now, most shockingly and upsettingly of all, we have a dead child. And the poet returns to the title of the poem, Conquerors, by saying that nobody had told them victory was going to be like this. In other words, this is not what they imagined. There is no sense of satisfaction, of triumph, of joy in this victory. And he says, not one amongst us would have eaten bread before he'd filled the mouth of the grey child. In other words, he says, not one of the soldiers would have eaten bread before they would have given it to the empathy for this child. We don't know how the child has died. We're not told. But it's a grey child. In other words, the body has been lying there for quite some time. And it's sprawled as stiff as stone before the shattered door. Again, the implication is possibly that this child starved to death because he says they would have given it bread. And he says there was not one who did not think of home. And that's a very important way to end the poem because the soldiers now are thinking how easily the situation could have been reversed. They're thinking of their families at home, perhaps their wives, their children, their brothers, sisters, any children. and that if they had not been the conquerors, this could have been the fate of them, of their families. So it's a very shocking ending to the poem, but it is also very fitting.